could get them baptized in the Holy Ghost, give them that prayer language, and give them that power, he had less likely that they were going to fail. You know why? Because we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit does. So that part of the program, to me, is vital. 80-some percent, I don't know how many, what that percent is now, they do not falter 5 years down the road, or they come back. But the key is this, it's because the program is good, and they're implementing that which is good. My challenge is if you're operating in fear, which is the opposite of faith, you got to break that. Because greater is the force of God that's in you than the enemy releasing fear. And you've seen there's been a disconnect. We saw churches shutting down. We saw people being afraid to go to church. People still afraid. Either we trust or we don't trust. I'm telling you, you've got to grow your trust if it's just believing to get saved. He wants you to believe to grow up. Where we truly, Proverbs 3, 4, and 5 says, trust the Lord with your whole heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. That is exactly why it tells us in Ephesians 2, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. The good works is the living word of God that we work. We're not saved by it, but we grow up by it. So, Romans 10, 9 and 10, which is a scripture that we memorize often, says, if we will acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and believe, remember believe, trust and cling to, rely on the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. Now you all know, you all got the measure of faith to get there. Acknowledging him is the testimony. Believing in your heart is the mechanism, the verb, action verb we use to get into the kingdom. But it's only the beginning. That's why years later, the point is this. Why are so many Christians lethargical? It's because they're not doing the good works and listening what the Word of God says to do to get connected in your life. Because you're never going to be forced to do what's right. When I go into prison and out in Freeland, now they don't let us have services, I challenge the inmates. You're in this church service, and we have church there. And I mean, it's powerful, their own worship team and all that. I said, the most important decision you will make after making Jesus Christ your Lord is to get into a connected church life where you have the Word and you have the believers surrounding your lives. And if you don't, you'll be back. I can almost guarantee it. It's hard enough for Christians that isolate themselves, separate themselves. And even to this day, there are Christians still in fear to be a part of something that God has orchestrated called the body of Christ. So, we're going to work on building your belief. So not only do you got it, but you're going to grow up in it and be all God is calling you to be. Amen? Mark 11, you don't need to turn to it. Let me quote it to you. We're talking about that faith that we all get. People sometimes get confused. And they think we're talking about faith in our faith. And we're not talking about faith in our faith. We're talking about the God of all gods, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and Father God. And he says it this way as Jesus was training up his disciples. He says this, have faith in God. He's challenging them because everybody can because he's given everybody the measure of faith, the measure of belief. Activate it that we start with. And then he says, for assuredly I'm telling you that are traveling with me today, he hasn't yet gone to the cross. He says, if you speak to the issues in your life or mountains, if yours says mountains, to be removed and cast in the sea, and you do not doubt in your heart, but you believe. I'm telling you, not many Christians want to get to this level of belief because it's not any different. You got to believe, trust, and cling to that what God promised, he's well able to carry out. He doesn't all of a sudden go on vacation. He didn't abdicate his role just because we went through a pandemic. He gave us the tools inside us to resist and to take back the kingdom that we are to occupy until he comes back or we graduate to be with the Lord. And he says, therefore, I'm telling you, all in red, whatever things you're asking. And let me tell you, asking according to His will, because you're students of the Word. Whatever things you ask, believe that you receive them and you can have them. Trust in, cling to, and rely on that. Look at me, church. I'm telling you, if you're not connected, or you're not very often connected to something, you're going to hear the Word over and over and bounce things off in a multitude of counsel, their safety. You can drift. You'll still go to heaven. The criteria for heaven is making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. But to rule and reign down here, you got to do the good works, which means you don't operate in fear. No weapon formed against us. Do we believe that, or is that just a nice quote? Yes. Do every time there's going to be something that's going to attack our country, are we going to go hide? Or are we going to be more than a conqueror and take back? Yes. There's nowhere in the Bible that talks about retirement. Older ladies are supposed to refire the young ladies and teach them how to be good mothers. Older men are supposed to be fathers of the faith to train up, not hide. Death has no sting. The enemy doesn't even have that on us. To be absent from this body, I'm with the Lord. But I do not want to abdicate the responsibility of ruling and reigning on earth. And many Christians are doing that. They're staying to themselves. They're staying isolated. They don't want to expose themselves to others. They might get hurt. Who knows what the issues are? But I'm telling you, Teen Challenge, 12 months, that's still pretty good. 14 months. Pretty good. I'm telling you, the founding, you're getting all the works to cause you to be successful and to be great. And Michelle and our Michelle visitor back here, your name will be known. And God loves you. You're a person. And all you ladies and your testimonies. And that's how important we are as a body. We need each other. And you need to be connected where they know you. They know your strengths. They know your weaknesses. And they don't put you down in your weaknesses. They build you up in them. Because we all got them. That's why we go through the tests of life. And so we see, the Bible says we got to increase our believing. Let me take you to Romans 12, if you're still in Romans. And I quote at Romans 12, 3, but let me go back. Paul to the Christians in Rome told them it's important that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, he says it's going to be tough serving Jesus. Holy, acceptable, with just our reasonable service. And then he challenged them. Here's your good works again. Present and get your mind transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does it get renewed? By staying isolated to ourselves.
No.
It doesn't. Or hanging with the wrong crowd.
No.
They're not on your side. But God is. And He wants to connect us all with others and make it a beautiful connection so you can glean. If we all got the measure of faith when to receive Jesus and we all start on the same level, how come or why are there many that grow in that area? He goes on and tells Romans 10:17, faith or belief, or believing comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. It does not come by having heard the Word of God. It comes by being around and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. It causes our belief to grow. And we mature. And we less are fearful of whatever the enemy sends our way. I'm telling you, He is attacking brothers and sisters all over the land. My fear isn't that they're going to die and go to heaven because I'll be excited to have them there. My sadness is they don't have to yet. I tell the Lord, I don't want to pop anybody's bubbles to say heaven needed somebody before. But I'm telling you, it's down here where we rule and reign. It's down here where we take our families and our neighborhoods back. It's because we've grown up and we truly do believe more than just believe for our salvation. Because we put ourselves in an atmosphere, Pastor Mike calls it Disneyland. Wouldn't it be exciting if everybody out there that's distanced themselves from the body would all of a sudden get a revelation of Disneyland, get back in church? Can you imagine what that would do? What we are missing and not gleaning when we have people that are staying away because the world out there, and if you watch the wrong stations, they're going to have you operating in fear. Oh, there's another variance. Oh, I'm telling you what, there's always going to be variances. But the body of Christ have got to stand up and take authority. Amen. And we truly got to believe more than just getting saved. Yes, sir. We got to believe when he says no weapon formed against us shall prosper. There's no weapon formed against us. And fear is a weapon that the enemy takes and tries to divide us from one another. Romans, if you would. This is how it works. This is New Covenant. Romans chapter 4. Bear with me as I read through numerous scriptures. My wife says, don't jump over things. I'm going to start with verse 13. This was the promise that was made to Abraham, our forefather, type and shadow of Jesus. Still pertinent, old covenant, still pertinent, and you'll see. It says, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. Now, we know the law was the 600 and some commandments, not just the 10. Nobody could live by all those. Everybody kept faltering and have to butcher something to sacrifice. Until Jesus was a sacrifice once and for all. But through the righteousness of faith, which is in Jesus. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Thank God it is of effect. Because the law brings about wrath, guilty, beating yourself up. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Do whatever you want. Yay! Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, the unmerited favor of God, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith, of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Stay with me, verse 17. I have made you a father, this was to Abraham, of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as they did exist. Look up just a second, and I'm going to continue reading. It was so important in the Old Covenant not to lie. Abraham was called Abram before he was prophesied that he was going to be the father of nations, and he was renamed Abraham, which means father. That would be an outright lie because he had no kids. But see, he believed God.
Oh, good, yeah.
And so he began to have everybody call him Abraham. And the more he heard Abraham, the more he heard the word of God, the more his believing increased. So it became a reality. Who, contrary to hope, in hope he believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, not being just a baby faith person, because he kept hearing the word, you're Abraham, you're Abraham, you're Abraham, you're Abraham. I'm Abraham, even without any kids. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. Put your head around that one. We get so caught up in little things, and here you got someone believing and continuously had people call him Abraham, and he's 100. His wife is about 90. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. I'm telling you, there's a mass hitting of church to get them into unbelief. Well, God protect, but you got to be common sense. And so we're fearful. Bind that stinking spirit.
Amen.
And rise back up, mighty men and women of God. And take back that which God has blessed you with. And the longer you're here, the better you are for others.
Yes, sir.
And yourself. Being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Folks, when you take a stand on the word of God, it just stands up for righteousness. You're already righteous of what Jesus did. But it's credited as righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. Say, us means me.
Us means me.
It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. It's for us too. Who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Verse 1 of 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, that faith that we all leveled in, we all had a measure of it, but we're believing it's growing because we're hearing and subjecting ourselves to hearing. Let me just tell you this before I go much further. The enemy works overtime to keep you disconnected. You heard a couple testimonies of what happened. Beautiful program with a disconnect. That was not by accident that they shared their testimony, because that testimony is to infuse within us, don't disconnect. Just because you got God inside you, you don't disconnect. It's not a young thing or an old thing. It's a God thing. Don't disconnect. Stay connected. So you're around those that are going to get you the word, encourage. And you know what? The enemy works out. Well, I don't have time. I'm too busy. Or what will they think? Or I don't read real well. And I can't go to a cell group because, you know, my schedule's so busy. It is not too busy. You are choosing an area that would strengthen you if you would commit to hooking up with other believers. Those 50-some women that hooked up there, I'm telling you, they were stronger because they connected and heard the word of God. You that are in these cell groups, you that come and are part of a Bible study, you are being strengthened and encouraged by being around other believers. And if you think you've got it all and all you need is God, I'm going to call you a liar. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 that the hand needs the foot needs the eye needs the ear. You need the whole body. Get over it. You can't do it alone. But if you want to excel and be strong in faith and not be wishy-washy, then you got to connect. Stay connected. You're in a good program. Stay in a good program, whatever the church is that God leads you to. Verse 2, though, whom also we have access by faith into this grace, this unmerited favor in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also, here you go, teen challenge, but all of us, because this isn't just a teen challenge thing. And not only that, but we are glorying in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce patience. Oh, we don't want to hear, oh no, come to Jesus, it's a piece of cake. Wrong answer. Come to Jesus and the enemy's going to hate your guts, try to get you to disconnect from other believers, to be a lone ranger because you're too busy. You got too many things more important to get connected to. Thank God that you prioritize yourself to getting to church where you can be encouraged with other believers. It's not a small thing, church. It's a very vital thing. And you watch. Anyone that disconnects, it's a slow process. It's not an overnight. Next thing you know, they can't understand why they're so lukewarm, why they don't think of praying on a spur of the moment, why the word just doesn't crisply come to them. It's not that they're not saved. They're disconnected. They're an arm out of the body. They're an eye out of the body. They're deformed. Going to heaven. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that was given to us. Not to me, Pastor Weldon, all of us was given the Holy Ghost. We challenge people here. I want to challenge you today. Your walk with the Lord, you got the same Holy Ghost I got. I don't have a superior one. You got a weaker one. You got the same Holy Ghost, which means you got the same potential and possibilities as anybody does. So no one can say, oh, I just don't know why God's picking on me. He's not picking on you. He's trying to encourage you and strengthen you, just like he's trying to do in all of us. But we look at tribulations differently when we realize it's going to build patience in our life and make us those unbeatable warriors for God. So, why a Christian matures or not? Let me just give you some scriptures. I know the teen challenge ladies are being very diligent. Psalms 92, 13 and 14. Please note that's pertinent. Those that choose to be planted in the house of the Lord are going to flourish in the courts of their God, and they are still going to bear fruit even as they get older. Look at me, church. What's the key there? What's the good work? Those that are what? Planted in the house of the Lord. What has the enemy been doing for over a year? Getting people unplanted. And the opposite of planting and flourishing is not flourishing because you're not planted. But I can watch this on TV and I can read my Bible. Great. But that's not enough. God didn't create you to hibernate by yourself. He created us to be in family. First ordained thing was family. And in the new covenant, it's spiritual family, not just biological family. Second step, Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forsake the assembling together. As you will see, as the times grow hard, people will begin to disconnect. I don't think it is hard. Is there a temptation to disconnect? Not in me. And the more you're believing, you don't disconnect. Well, you know, I'm going to work on Sunday. I'm telling you, I've seen this. I've been in this so long. Don't do things that are going to take you out of the presence of the Lord. He'll never leave you. I understand that. But there's strength in numbers. There's strength in coming and listening to others. There's strength in church life. You say, oh, pastor, you're the pastor. I'm the pastor, but I also got a home life. My wife and I, we don't leave Jesus and the Holy Ghost when we leave. We take him to the Holy Spirit land of Marion Springs area. And we're loosing it wherever we can. Third thing, Acts 2:42 says why the church exploded after the day of Pentecost, because they continued steadfastly in the word, in prayer, and in koinonia. Koinonia is being cemented with other believers. How can that happen if you're not connected? Good, right. You can't get cemented with other believers. So what are some good works? Koinonia with the body of Christ. Number four, Proverbs 11:14 says, just one of multiple proverbs that says, in a multitude of counsel, there you'll find safety. How in the world? The enemy knows if he can get us disconnected. He knows we don't have a multitude of counsel. But you might say, but I can call my mom or my dad. Great. But I'm telling you what, there's something about a warring dimension that happens when you're part of a body of Christ. Yes, it just is. And the last one I've already given you, 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, you're not the whole body. Jesus is the head, but you need the whole body. You need the parts that you don't think are important. Those parts, you're all important. This is all significant. I'm doing the good works and staying strong and not get beat up. Let me just share how you conquer fear. Whatever you got fear of, there has to be a believing mechanism that increases. Last weekend, I rented what they call a cherry picker. A cherry picker is a tool that has hydraulic lifts to it, and it takes you up 45 feet to trim dead branches. I don't like heights, okay? So there is a dimension that I have to get over. So I'm out there elevating it all the way up to 45 feet to trim these trees. I thought last Sunday would be a good time to give my wife a little demonstration of what it feels like up there. Now remember, she's not as sensitive to heights as I am, but how do you get over it? The more I do it, the more my trust is in what I'm doing, the more the fear goes and the faith is there. And I don't start until I ask the Holy Ghost's covering to be on me, guide me, tell me what to do, not do, so the branches don't fall the wrong way. I do my part. I'm not in fear, but I want to stay in faith. So I took my wife up. I says, honey, would you want to go? She says, yeah, yeah. I got up about the first notch at about 25 feet. She says, oh, she grabs the side of the crate. Oh, my gosh. I said, honey, hold, relax. We're not even begun. So I go up another lift, and, oh, honey, the dog's down there so small. And then we went up all to the way to the top, and all she could say was, how do you do it? Because I have to defeat fear by doing something over and over and over again until I lick it. If you've got a fear of anything, you that have a fear of speaking, it's not going to disappear until you speak over and over and over again. If you don't challenge your fear, the devil has you right where he wants you, in a box. Separate it from whatever. And yet we're the most protected people there is, Christians. We're in 31 years since the work began back in 1990, first Sunday in May. We have never stopped going after God. I'm going to brag on you that have hooked up earlier and are still hooked up. This work is called Shield of Faith, not because we're in shields, but because the Lord told me that we needed to quench the fiery darts by having the shield of faith out of the armament of God. And I found out the fiery darts were the arrows that people would be speaking against us, but they'd be squelched. We would not send them back. We would forgive them and not lay it to their account. So we are shield of faith because we knew, because we're after God, and I used to have pastors, oh my gosh, the reason why people are jealous of you, because you have no compromise. You are all after God, and that's still true. And when we got hit with the word of faith, we had a segment of Pentecostals that had issues with, you just so strong in the word. We're still strong in the word. When we got into the river, we got hit with Toronto. It was a freeing element. It wasn't winning people to the Lord in Toronto. It was refreshing the body of Christ that was burnt out and so religionized they could hardly do anything. And especially the word of faith, folks, that kept telling themselves, if I only had more faith, I wouldn't have this earache. If I just, and I strove and they striving. And I thought, forgive me, Lord, if I came across that it said easy. But, Lord, you need to loosen up. And people were flying in from around the land to this little church in Toronto called the Toronto Blessing, where we got so undone by the Spirit of God. We were so great. We didn't get rid of word of faith. We just added the river and soaking and falling out under the presence, letting him fill us up. But you know the ones that were upset? It was now the word of faith, folks. Oh, no, you're too sloppy, agape. No, we're free. And we're enjoying life. Our mission is still. So we got Smithton Revival gets hit out in Little Smithton, out in Kansas? Warfare dimension. We had Toronto people come and says, your worship is too warfare. I says, I'm sorry, that's a little bit too much for you, but we are geared to be warriors. And nothing against, we like the soaking music, but we are called to be a warring dimension. So we went to Smithton. They're the river with the warfare. But what we had issues with that, it was all about the pecking order, only the top people, and you couldn't get to even talk to the top people because they were really important. I says, that's not us. Don't criticize, but that's not. We'll take the river. We'll take the warring. But we also will love on the body of Christ. So who then was getting upset? It was always the other moves of God. So we get hit with Brazil. In Brazil, we learn a mechanism, worship people. I know, Dan, you've joined us. But worship people are a hard bunch. They want to put on a show. And so Davi would have his team face the wall so that they couldn't see people watching them. And it was a humbling thing. And we loved it. We brought it back. We implemented it. I got to tell you, the ones that had the hardest time with it was worship people. Not worshipers, but I'm telling you, there's a dimension. I want to show you how great I am. So I said all that. Here we are, June 2021. We're a purebred, but we're a purebred mutt. We've got something from all these things. And there's a principle, if you've been into fruit growing or whatever, you know that a pear tree needs different types of pear trees to have real strong fruit because the bees have to cross-pollinate. I think the cross-pollination that we get by being exposed to other things is a healthy thing. I'm not going to challenge others, but that's our dimension. And let me just close with something that my wife had as a vision. I think it's pertinent today. We had gotten a lot of different ministries were coming against us, telling us we're too radical, we're too outside the lines and all this. Of course, they'd come and saw the war sticks or people laid out groaning, crying, laughing, having a good time with the Lord. That's too real. You got to get religious. You got to be stiff. You can't enjoy yourself. Wrong. The Lord created me to enjoy me.
He created you to enjoy you.
Yeah. He did. And he created you all to enjoy you. So anyway, she has this vision, and here we are at the end of times. And we're coming before the judgment in heaven. And the crowds are all just mingling around. And all of a sudden, here comes Shield of Faith, ragtag, beat up warriors, blood running from our face, our uniforms are tattered. And as we begin to go to the crown, the people begin to jeer and they begin to laugh. And the Lord himself turned to them and said, "Wrong. If it wasn't for their battles and their battle scars, you wouldn't be here." And all of a sudden it changed to a swell of praise. I know we're not cookie cutter. And I know that I'm always trying to unite the pastors of the city, and I'm having still a hard time doing that. But I do know this. I know who we are. I know where we're headed. And God is using us to set the captives free. If you're happy to just go to heaven, great. There's a lot of places you can go and have your ears tickled and get to heaven. But if you're seriously after making a difference and you'll work through your fear to get into a higher level of believing, I'm telling you, the sky's the limit what God can do in your homes, in your neighborhoods, and where you work. Because when we leave these two doors, the Holy Ghost does not stay in here. He goes with us. And every place PK and my feet go, he goes. Whoever I run into is an opportunity. But it's not because I'm a pastor. It's because I keep myself full. I make it a priority. We pray every day here. I have Bible studies. I don't always say, I can't wait to get to another cell group. I enjoy it when you're there, but it takes up a couple hours here and there. But I know how important it is for me to be there. And I'm challenging you, folks, if you want to be all you can be and have your believing mechanism increase, do not let the enemy tell you that it's not going to matter. Because it is going to matter. Yes, amen. Amen? Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this day that you've opened up for us, Lord. Thank you for bringing the Teen Challenge ladies to be a part of us. And I address you that are tuning in Facebook, or if there's anyone in here that has never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, most important decision is to believe in your heart. You got that mechanism of faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you haven't, I challenge you to do it right now. And if you've already done it, I'm going to encourage you to get connected to a local body where you can grow and hear the Word of God and grow up and be the mighty man and mighty woman of God that God has raised you up. He wants to enjoy you, and it's up to you to step out of your boxes so he can thoroughly use you, and it's going to be good. And Father, I bless this congregation and those that are listening, and I say have your way with all of us and continuously grow us up. In Jesus' name, and all of us in agreement said, amen. Greet one another. Love one another.